All right, we've been looking at the work of women, and I thought last week was a blessing because we actually recapped the whole way through kind of the flow of the study. And so if you weren't here for that, I would highly encourage that you go back and listen to that one. It should be online. And just so, like again, just a real good general recap. And so we now are on page number 366, and we are on a woman's primary ministry is family-centered. And we're going to pick up here in Titus chapter number 2. I just saw a survey out, and I didn't even see the results. I just saw the question, and I didn't follow through with it. But it asked this question. It said, knowing what you know now, would you go back and change your occupation if you could? In other words, if knowing like where you're at now, whatever that is for you, would you go back? Like for me, we're talking, you know, would you go back some 30-some years and switch the career path you chose? It's an interesting question. Now, I am one that I'm very careful about those kind of questions because I think regret is a powerful tool of the enemy. Here's the reality. We can't go back and change our career path, and we can't go back and change anything that's already happened, right? And when you made the decisions you made, you have to believe that you made them at that point with what you had available to make it. So to try to go back now with new information and say, I should have made a different decision, all that is a recipe for discouragement, depression, and that's a tool of the enemy. That is not a tool of God. So I'm careful with that. But it's a very interesting thought, you know, whether or not we would do that. Yes? Yeah, right. And so a lot of people try to get us to focus there, right? Well, I don't want to do that to y'all. Amen. So this lesson here and everything we study in the Word of God is not about changing our past, you know. I don't like a lot of my past, to be honest with you. I go back and sometimes I think about certain parts of my past and I just want to cry, you know, just from what I went through, some of the things before I got saved, and even really after, you know, we have regrets too after we're saved. And so it just is what it is. You know, you can't stay there. You can't ponder there. But what you can do is sometimes God does have us go back just to consider. Just consider where God has brought us from, you know, and consider the opportunities and possibilities that we have for the future. So I think that's kind of where we're at with these studies. We may go through some of these things and you may say, I have not been this, I have not been everything I should be. And that's fine. It's good to understand that. But that doesn't mean that you have to be stuck there, right? Praise the Lord. God doesn't just give us second chances. He gives us a lot more than that. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. We're always a work in progress. It's like as we raise children, you know, all of us as parents have certain thoughts that we want to see our children, you know, become and all that. I've been very careful there too. I've been very careful not in my own mind to dream up what I want my children to be or become. Never. I've never wanted my children to live my life out that I missed. And I think that happens for a lot of parents, you know. I missed out on this opportunity, so I want to make sure my kid's in sports or whatever. I've never had that, you know. I've done this or that, and I want to make sure my kid doesn't make this bad choice. A lot of the bad choices I've made led to me learning some things that I needed to learn. So I don't mind that my kids go through hard times. I don't mind that they fail, you know. Levi's not in here. Amen. Levi took a driver's test this week, and he failed the driver's test the first time. My initial response to him was, Kaisers don't fail. But anyway, beyond that, you did, you know. And I said, well, what'd you learn, you know, from that? And basically, yellow lights, he went through two yellow lights. The one of them had actually turned red before. The first one, the guy was going to give him a pass on. But the second one, no way. And he knew. He said he knew when he did it. And I was like, I told him, I said, and I think Micah did too, if you got to put that guy through the windshield to stop, if you see a yellow light, you stop. You're on a driver's test. And this isn't real life. This is passing the test, amen. And anyway, that's just, we just got to give the teacher what they're looking for, right? And that was it. And so anyway, he's scheduled for next week, but I think it'll end up being good for him. I think sometimes we need to have our pride knocked down just a little bit, you know? And so it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. You just go through what you go through, you learn from it, and you move on. Absolutely. And so I know in our church we preach a pretty hard message at times, amen, because we're just preaching the Word of God. But ultimately, we're just preaching the truth, because without it, we're in trouble. Amen. It's the truth that will make you free. And coddling someone in their error, coddling someone in their failure doesn't help them. At the same time, we need to make sure we're preaching the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. Amen. And be there for people. So with all that said, as we go through these things, you may see some things here that are challenging. And we're going through a thing for women, but it may be a challenge to some of us men, amen, in some of these ways. And so just let that sink in, work on that. And I'm glad that God doesn't make me work on everything that I need to grow in all at once, amen. I'm glad it's a metered process, and He knows. Because you may be around some people that say, you need to grow in this area, this area, this area first. And that may not be what God's saying, amen. You need to be in connection with God and grow at God's rate for you. At the same time, that's not an excuse not to grow. No, we need to be engaged with God and let God grow us. Amen. But we need to know where we're at in that process with God and be able to explain to somebody, you know, and just say, you know, right now, for whatever reason, God is not dealing with me on this particular issue, but He is dealing with me here and here. This is where I'm working at. Amen. And that's why, as a pastor of this church, I'm very careful not to take my thoughts and ideas about ministry and force them on the church and say, y'all need to fuel what I believe we need to be doing as a church. Now, collectively, we know edifying the body of Christ, reaching the lost, those are overarching things that our church has to do. But there's a lot of ministries that we're not engaged in that we could be solely because God's not moving upon the people for those respective ministries. I want to be careful. I don't want to overwhelm our people. I don't want to flood our people with so much to do that's good that they can't be who God has called them to be. Amen? And so anyway, just kind of keeping some of those general principles in mind. And the same is true in your home. Your home probably isn't going to look exactly like my home. We're not here to compare homes. We're not here to compare relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children. We're not here to compare ourselves among ourselves. Because in 1 Corinthians it says, doing so is not wise. So, you have your own set of things to deal with. Every person's a little bit different. You know, Dana and I, we are who we are, and we're unlike anybody else. You know, and then throw our kids in the mix to that. And I had made that thing earlier, Kaisers don't fail. That's just something, that, you know, that's just, I push that pretty hard, amen. We're going to succeed no matter what hits us in life. We're going to persevere. We're not going to, you know, let life roll us over, amen. We're going to push on. That's just one of the things that I've kind of, I don't know. There's something else about your family that you continue to push on. All I'm saying is we need to be in tune with God and grow and be everything that God wants us to be. And if that's where we're at, to God be the glory, that's all we can do. Does that make sense? And so as we go through here, kind of keep that in mind. I had someone reach out to me this week who's not in this room at this point, amen, and just ask me a question about a particular thing. And it was about a topic, which I won't mention. And I just responded and kind of gave a, you know, because it was some preacher, which wasn't me or anybody in here, had said something she kind of latched onto. And, okay, well, let's just be careful that we don't take that then and run with it in a way that's unreasonable, right? Because preachers, people, we all say things that at times can seem pretty narrow, definite, but that doesn't mean that saying that we say fits in every situation. Right. It just doesn't mean that. So let's not place upon people an expectation that we wouldn't want people to place upon us and the things that we say. Amen? I would say most of the things that I preach are valid most of the time, but I'm telling you, there's circumstances and things that we go through. You just got to be careful about that, you know, and be willing to examine the scripture specifically for your situation. Amen? And you need to have that relationship with God, and you can't lay all that on me or lay that all on anybody else to be your Holy Spirit or to be your own spirit guide. Amen? It's on you. It's on you. I'll be here to help. Others will be here to help. Amen. But ultimately, you're the one. I'm the one that's going to stand before God and give an account, because it's a personal relationship in life with the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense? All right. So as we jump into this thing real quick, let's go and take the next one. And we're on D here. To be Discreet, to be discreet. Does anybody know what discreet means? We're in Titus chapter 2, and it says here in reference to, just to get us caught up, I just jumped in like we were just continuing from last week, and I know you're probably not there, amen. We'll go back. Titus 2 verse 3 says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And by the way, both of those in reference to love is not agape love, it's phileo love. It's to be a friend of. Amen. If you can be a friend, then you can ultimately agape love later. And then verse 5 says, to be discreet. So the older women, which means mature. It doesn't mean necessarily the aged in just years, though it can. Because with years also comes experience. And if they've been saved for a while, no doubt through their years have gained some experience. But it's talking more about a spiritual maturity. The older women are to teach the younger women. There are certain things that older women could teach younger women that men can't. Because women know women, just like men know men. Men don't necessarily know women, and women don't necessarily know men and some of the things we deal with internally and how we think and how we function. So God has put it such that there's a ministry for the older women to instruct the younger. Amen. And I would say if you're a younger woman, and by the way, all of us have a level, looking at everybody in this room, we all have a level of maturity, and then we also have a level of immaturity in everything. That's true of every one of us in here. There's some things that I have been taught over and over and over again from the Lord that I have great experience in. And there's some things that I really haven't spent a lot of time therein. And so I'm more immature in those areas. And so we just have to recognize that. Just because you maybe considered an elder in a church or aged or whatever or mature doesn't mean that gives you license in every area. So know who you are, know what you're strong in, know what you're not, and don't try to act towards somebody like you're strong in an area if you're not. It's okay to say, I don't know. I'd like to learn though, right? And so the aged women are to teach the younger. And I would say it is wise for us always to realize that we always need teaching, amen, no matter who we are. I just came through a study in the Minor Prophets, amen, and I want to study more, amen. And now I'm moving from there. I'm going into a study in the book of Isaiah, amen. I'm letting somebody instruct me. It's just constantly learning, constantly growing. My children teach me a lot, amen. And so out of the mouth of babes, right? God hath perfected praise. And so being open to that instruction. So in this text, it says the older women are to be able to teach the younger women to be discreet. So what does discreet mean? Yes. To be careful. Yeah, yeah. Not, that'd be good. Yeah, not being outward in a sense, right? Not being discreet. I actually looked it up, and it means to be sober-minded as well. It means to be of a sound mind, right? To be discreet, to not draw attention, would mean I'm well aware of where I'm at, what's going on. I want to be seemly in this situation, right? And be careful, right? And so there's sometimes Dana will be headed out somewhere and going by herself, whatever. This just happened recently, and I said, you need to take someone with you, right? I say, why? I don't know. I just felt like she needed to take someone with her. I don't know, right? And say, what is that? That's just me being careful for her, helping her, right? That's a part of being discreet, not putting yourself in situations that could potentially not be good. That's a part of being discreet. Maybe not, even you've heard this discretion even in reference to how we look, how we dress. You know, where we go, where we find ourselves, all these different things. Being in a dark alley at night in the middle of downtown Indianapolis, probably not wise. You might be able to handle it, but it's just not a good thing. Be more careful. Be sober-minded about that. Be more discreet. This actually carries the curbing of one's desires and impulses. Sometimes we jump too quick, right? We just take a step back and think through this thing, right? Before I speak, I should think. Be discreet in your speech. Be discreet in you know what you avail yourself to. Some ladies, by the way, are really, really gifted in the area of giving, right? And putting themselves out there, always wanting to do something. And Patricia mentioned, what can we do, for Nancy? That's good. These are great attributes, but we want to think through that. You don't want to overextend yourself to help. At the same time, you don't want to, you know, pull back and not be there to help. So it's just being careful there, being sound in mind, being discreet. And so this is very, very important. And in that parentheses there, cautious, self-controlled, absolutely. But this whole thought of being discreet is being available and being able to spread yourself out. Keep in mind, there's more than one person in life that needs you, right? If we take all of our resources and we put it into one area, then we've spread ourselves too thin, right? And so part of discretion is just being sober-minded about what God has called me to, right? In all areas of life, all right? That's discretion. And then we'll look very quickly at to be chaste. To be chaste means to be pure, amen? And in here, pure, holy, as it says there, but the word chaste is more than that. It means, again, it couples well with discretion because it's chaste. You know the word chastened, right? When we hear the word chastened, what do we think of? Corrected, punished, right? God has chastened me. What I love about that word is it's not just chastening for no purpose. It's God developing in us holiness, right? What happens to us as we are disciplined by God? What's that? We should learn through the process. That's good. So you become more educated. What else? You begin to develop some discipline. I did this. It didn't work out well. I don't want to do that again. Oh, I did it again. It worked out less than well that time. I mean, really bad. It gets worse. It gets more intense. Is that right? So the first time your kid messes up, you probably verbally say, hey, that was wrong, whatever. Second time, they do the same thing over again. That picks up, doesn't it? Hopefully, yes. Chasing him.
Yeah, so he like messes up and the dog's chasing him. And then he corrects him, maybe a bark at him the first time and it's not that bad. He keeps on messing up, he may get bit or whatever, but that's just in my mind what I think.
Yeah, keeps
that's
progressing.
A good analogy.
It keeps ramping up, yeah. Don't it? Okay.
As we go through those things in life, you know how when you talk to a kid and they like have no clue of what it means to actually take care of anything, ultimately. Because you and I ultimately have their back, and we're not gonna let them ultimately fail. But you know, we get to a point in life where we can fail, and we can fail hard. And there's nobody that has our back anymore. Does that make sense? Okay, when you start learning that, it changes you. It sobers you up. And it makes you more careful about what you engage in because you realize where that can take you and what the ramifications are. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Discretion and being chastened so that you can be chaste, so that you can be more right, you can be holy. Because that's how God, that's called a foundational way to live. It's leveling it out, no longer being tossed to and fro, but actually having an environment now that not only you can grow in, you can work from, but those around you can. Amen. You've been leveled out. And that's really what we want the younger to be taught, right? We want them calmed down in some areas. Maybe pick it up in some areas. You know, take some things serious in life. I know you don't like school, but you need it. Take it seriously. Amen. I know you don't want to show up to work on time, but you need to. Your bosses aren't mom. They don't love you like mom does. They're just going to fire you. Amen. Anyway, on and on and on. You need to be leveled out. Gain some of this in life. And that's really discretion and chasteness. Same is true in the family. You know, there's good times in the family, bad times in the family. It's okay. Don't let those times get whacked out. Be level through it all. It's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Yeah, the bathwater needs change. But before you change it, get the things out of it that are important. Amen. So again, that's kind of these two. I know we spent a lot of time in prayer, things like that today, but that's those two. We'll pick right up there next week.